The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Hanukkah Mikdat, Israel Gutierrez, Sarah Spade, Tim Kalishaw. Where have you been all my life?
Where have you been?
Sarah, thank you for carrying the watermelon last week, I believe. It's an expression
yes.
I just came up with that you get. All right. Yeah, we're talking the Final Four. Let's go around the horn.
My guy.
Bad booty to be referring to.
Oh, how dare you, Tim Kalishaw. You know, one of the characters in the movie, Dirty Dancing, his name's Max Kellerman, the original host of this show.
Yeah. That's right.
Oh, wow.
UNC, Duke, Kansas, Villanova, all sorts of beatdowns in the Elite Eight. Yes, UNC put St. Peter's in a corner. And now the blue bloodiest Final Four ever, I guess. I mean, this is what we have. Let's start with this. Around the horn to Tim Kalishaw. Who impressed you most on the way to this Final Four?
Tony, I'm tempted to take all four teams and just collect all the points because I could go that route, but I have a feeling that would go poorly. So instead, I'm going to take Duke, and for this reason. Yes. We're in an age of very suspect offenses in men's college basketball and some horrendous scores in this tournament, 54-41, things like that. Sort of thing. Duke hitting 50% of their shots every game, scoring over 75 points every game, playing two of the best defenses, Texas Tech, the best rated defense in the country, and then Arkansas, very good defense, and they did it. They got by them. They're doing it in ways they didn't do it during the regular season. All the focus is on Coach K, but those players are playing up to the moment much better than anybody could have anticipated.
Interesting you bring up the offenses. Yes, that's stunning. Offenses are down in the NCAA while they're so up in the NBA. Sarah Spain, bring you in here. Most impressive run to the Final Four.
It's Duke. You look at this is the youngest team in terms of experience for Coach K since 1985, and yet you've got five players in double-digit scoring every game that they've played. They've shot at least 50% from the field, 35% from three, 75% from free throw in every game. First team to ever do that. This is a consistent effort across an entire team of young players who have more pressure on them than anyone in the tournament. And I'm counting Gonzaga. I'm counting St. Peter's trying to continue their run. This is the team that we were watching from the beginning and saying didn't have it, and that it was going to go out poorly for a guy in Coach K in his last run, and instead here they are. It's Duke.
Israel Gutierrez. Duke didn't even have it in the last game at Cameron against North Carolina, who they're going to meet up with, but we'll get to that in a second. Most impressive to the Final Four.
Yeah, you look at some of the other teams, you know, Villanova with an injury there. Kansas, you want to say maybe after that second half against Miami, but you look at it and say, hey, it's a double seed, double-digit seeded Miami. It's Duke. It's still Duke. And, it's, you know, for all the reasons, the numbers they mentioned. But you talk about, you know, beating Texas Tech, a great defensive team, and doing it sort of, you know, down the stretch in a tense game. You get to that point when you have all this to play for, when you've got every single game being Coach K's last. And this game coming up, obviously the pressure of sort of the revenge game with North Carolina after that last game in Cameron Indoor Stadium. So not only is the, you know, when offenses aren't looking great and they don't necessarily have three-point shooters that are just going to shoot the lights out, you somehow find a way to be efficient anyway at the time you need it most. Duke seems to be the team best suited right now.
Okay, so national pundits talking about Duke here. All right, yes, yes. Wait, that's the face of consternation. Monica, I'm just giving you points for the face right now. Please, most impressive run to the Final Four.
Guys, what are we doing? This is what Duke does. The most impressive run to get to this point was an 8-seed UNC squad. Not to mention that Duke got a 2-seed, even though they had more quadrant one losses than all of the other 2 seeds put together. So they got a little help there. UNC wasn't supposed to be here at all. And yes, they knocked off the St. Peter squad, who was the darling of the tournament, and you could argue didn't have the firepower. But did you forget they took out the number 1 seed in the OT game? And they took out last year's blue blood darling in UCLA to get here? Oh, and it's Hubert Davis's first year as a head coach? I'm sorry, it's the Tar Heels.
Sarah Spain, you want to respond to that?
I'll give her everything for this year and their unexpected run, but this is what Duke does, and you're going to say that in the same breath as if this isn't what UNC does? I'm pretty sure they have more Final Four trips and wins than Duke does. This is what they do as well.
Kyle,
yeah,
Monica.
But they weren't ever ranked number one this season, and I don't think they have a guy that was arguably going to be the number one pick in Paolo Beccaro on their squad.
Kalachuk, you're trying to get in here. You're sticking that finger up. Let me come up.
North Carolina had a lot of tough losses in the middle of the season, including one by 20 points to Duke at home. But they have been, except for a stretch against Baylor when their two of their three best players were not in the game. They have been right at Duke's
level. Well, let's
look
forward then, all right? Because they're going to decide this on the court, which is a lot better than deciding it between Spain and McNutt, I guess. They've never played in the NCAA tournament before, which kind of blows your mind. And, of course, Coach K's last dance could be his last game. For you people, this is a Code Red, DEFCON 1, Will Smith slapping Chris Rock, and then coming out of the TV to slap all your mommies, too. What is this, Sarah Spain?
This is a Disney story? Can I say that on a Disney-owned property without being too cliche? I mean, no. This is what we all wanted to happen. Not only did we see them end Coach K's time at Cameron Indoor with an embarrassing loss that required a rousing speech that no doubt we're going to hear the clips from ahead of this game where he tells us that was unacceptable, but sometimes this is the moment, right? That's going to be in the 30 for 30 when they win the title this year. Then you got this is their 100th, you know, meeting or tournament, and then you've got the fact they've played 250-something times and never met in the tournament before. Most times that the two teams could ever be in the same field without meeting, like all of it would be unbelievable if we didn't know it was true, which is just so cool. It's I really hope they don't get peacocked, neither of them, because I need to see it closer.
Israel, how about you?
You know when teams lose games like that and they say, you know, throw away the tape, don't ever look at that again. I hope they didn't throw away the tape because they've got one more matchup with these guys. And this, so you look at the situation with Coach K, and yeah, he's had a lot of championship teams. He's had a lot of Final Four teams. Nobody's ever had this level of pressure, whether he's obviously not putting on them himself, but they're carrying that for him. And to for the first time have it against a North Carolina team in the tournament, it's beyond unbelievable. It's downright perfect. However, if I were North Carolina, wouldn't be too happy about this. You did what you had to do in the last game in Cameron. Your last team that you want to face in this situation after your miracle run is the team that wants to beat you with all of their being. So from their perspective, probably not the greatest story.
Well, that goes both ways, wanting to beat each other with all their being. Beyond unbelievable. I love the way you say that, Israel. Monica, what is this matchup?
Oh, gosh, it is all that college basketball fans dream of on this stage. And I think Duke has probably learned from Paolo Beccaro saying that he hoped North Carolina would win so that they would face them in the ACC tournament and end up losing to Virginia Tech. Never mind. I think they've learned that they've got to walk lightly, tread lightly, and give this North Carolina team all the respect that they deserve. It's incredible. You can't knock it. It's one of the best rivalries in all of college basketball, and we get it on this stage. Who
writes
this stuff?
So that game at Cameron, Monica, and North Carolina winning, and there being a lot of pressure in that game as well, does that portend anything for this matchup? Does that give UNC an advantage? Does it give Duke an advantage?
I do think it gives Duke an advantage. I will admit I almost wish that North Carolina hadn't actually won that game because Duke is 100% on red alert and salivating at this opportunity to get
revenge. Kalachuk.
Yeah, I don't know about that, and I don't know about it being a Disney movie either. I just hope it's not Disney Plus. I still haven't figured out that out. That's not really your problem. Let me say this,
good
though.
Good company, I think man, there, Kalachuk.
North Carolina has gone into, I won't say the lines, Dan. I'll probably get something happen to me if I say that, but they've gone into Cameron and won on Coach K's last game there. This can't be harder than that. It's a bigger game. It means more, but on a neutral floor with 30,000, 20,000 North Carolina fans there, I think it helps them.
What was the line you were dancing so close to there? I didn't even pick up what you were putting down there.
I danced away from it. It's gone.
Just give it to us. I promise you, I won't mute you.
I said they were going into the lion's den, and then I thought, well, the lion's den is ridiculous.
Oh, it's a ridiculous cliche.
Whoa, you walked right into that. Yeah. That was mean.
Can we get somebody to get Kalachuk on Disney Plus? Is that possible? Well, it's not like you have
get
to split the ad to do it. You just
get
need to lock
up.
No,
get
there's something wrong with it.
All right, last topic here. I just need to talk a little bit more about St. Peter's one last time. I wasn't even around the last 2 weeks. I missed this. This is a skull from Jersey. The These are my people. My cousin is in the Sports Hall of Fame at St. Peter's. What the run meant and what it means that a 15 seed went to the Elite Eight. Israel, when you stand at the pearly gates, what will you say about St. Peter's? To St. Peter's?
Well, I'll ask Tim Kalasa for my Disney Plus password back because I'm going to offer it to him after the show. Look, I think I frankly just look at the basketball and I watch them and I watch them play as pretty much the classic underdog. It's like they're not going to try to trick you with backdoor.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cuts or a bunch of threes, raining threes, and, you know, doing the math wrong. They're just going to go in there, get what they got to get, and fight and defend, and then go out with a win. And obviously their time ran out, and their effort ran out there, but it just was a classic type of basketball underdog effort. And Shaheen Holloway, I frankly think, is like the perfect coach for that setting. So that's what I'll remember most from this
run. Monica, does it anyway mean maybe the lid's been taking off and that a 14, 15, 16 seed can make it to the Final Four in the future?
Oh, with the transfer portal in this age, it's absolutely in the realm of possibility. But I think the thing I take away from this most is Shaheen Holloway. In all of those post-game press conferences, I love how simple and beautiful the opportunity was for him. He strikes me as a guy that guys are going to want to go and play for. And unlike Shaka Smart when he jumped to Texas, I still think he can recruit the same type of guys to Seton Hall and do something special with that program.
For sure. He'll be recruiting in the same yard in Jersey. Such a strong state. Tim Kalishaw.
You know, as one of the few panelists with a strong New Jersey background, I have a good sense of what this meant to the Garden State, and I really enjoyed that aspect of it. But beyond that, we've seen other 15 seeds win once and do, you know, beat a two and then maybe get to the Sweet 16. But they don't come back and play Purdue, a team with an immense size advantage that was ranked number one in the nation in December, and just say, oh, they're big, so we'll press them and we'll win the game that way. That's what was remarkable.
Dire Spain, does this mean 15 seeds can do this?
It does. I think Monica mentioned the transfer portal, also NIL. And that brings me back to something else she said. She also kind of portended or looked ahead to him moving to Seton Hall, which is expected. And when he goes there, he's expected to make about 10 times as much as he's making at St. Peter's. So not only do we see the moment where everything the coach is feeling for his kids is also about, you have helped me get this great opportunity, but because of NIL, we finally see some of these players in these moments actually make off of their achievements. And I'm sure there's some folks from some previous Dunk City and other teams that are looking like, I want a B-dubs ad. I want all this stuff that the St. Peter's guys are getting. Right. I think that's a cool moment when they can become national.
Growing up in New York City and then in Jersey and this whole area, you know, there's so much pride in the point guard, right? And Shaheen Holloway was on that list. The aura and mystique of Shaheen Holloway. And sometimes you think of these guys that never made it in the NBA as superstars. Maybe only Starberry did. Kenny Anderson never even broke through as much. Or the Hurleys, right? It's about that DNA that you saw, that what Shaheen Holloway was as a coach.
You're leaving the Army?
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
I always love that time when you're in between the Elite Eight and the Final Four. It's the scrumptious six. But before tonight's games, I'm still raffling on the floor, Monica. Let's roll tape.
What would you now like to say as you wear your Lady Vols dunce cap?
Nikki, give me some alma mater words. What you want me to say?
I thought you were going to start singing Rocky Top.
That's what I said. I don't know the words. Tell me the words, Nikki.
Tennessee.
Rocky Top, Tennessee.
Was that just a poster rolled up to look like a dunce cap?
Yes, it wasn't.
I thought so. I know producers will. All right. Here's a couple points for taking the hit. So tonight, UConn, NC State in Connecticut. So the two seed gets the home court advantage. And Michigan Louisville to see who joins South Carolina and Stanford. Monica, who you got tonight?
Oh, I'm not wearing any more dunce caps, but I'm leaning on the actual one seed NC State to get it done and the sense of urgency. Listen, they've got five players that can score the basketball. Alyssa Cunane has been terrific all season and was in strong contention for ACC Player of the Year. If they can protect the paint, I think they've got a real shot. In the other game, I don't know that Michigan has found a ball handler that can deal with Louisville's defense. I'm going with the Cards. They're forcing 20 turnovers in this tournament. That looks like 27 points off of those turnovers.
Israel Gutierrez, can you follow that up?
No, but I'm going to try. I'm going to go with Louisville in the first game. I know it was back in December, but lost in this matchup, the ACC Big Ten matchup by 22. So I'm going to go with Louisville there. In the other game, I'm going to go with UConn. I'm going to go with a little bit of the experience there. Louisville having not been there since 98, or NC State rather, having not been to the Final Four since 98. And I know Paige Beckers is kind of tough watching her play through this injury, but if AZ Fudd can give her some sort of shooting outside and compliment her, and Paige gives you a little bit there, I think
UConn's as young as this UConn team is, you're setting experience here. Sarah Spain, I'll bring you in.
Yeah, maybe speaking to Gino's experience or the expectation for that squad. That one's a tougher choice for me. NC State has actually done a good job of playing in enemy buildings or in neutral buildings all year long. So maybe them ending up having to play in Bridgeport isn't as bad. But for some reason, my gut is telling me that AZ Fudd goes off and Paige plays just well enough for UConn to advance. The other one's easier for me. I think Louisville is going to absolutely neutralize Naz Hillman. They have been stifling on defense, and there's been a lot of issues for Michigan with offense. Only averaged 58 points the last two games. So I got Louisville.
Just a quick reminder that I gave our listeners, our viewers, Creighton over Iowa State Friday. Didn't really get enough points from Sarah. Beyond that, moving forward to tonight, I do like, I do think the fact the game is in Bridgeport and Connecticut is going to have their usual strong fan base.
Is that fair?
Played 32 minutes. Last game, she's coming back from that back injury. She's but close. Give me
the home court advantage for the two seed. Monica, let me ask you a question. You played UConn, and when you played them in the NCAA tournament, that game was in Philadelphia, which is closer to Georgetown than Storrs, but what was the advantage like there?
Didn't feel that way. UConn fans are going to travel, and I get it. The business approach of both our company and the NCAA tournament. But if you have to do this, you put UConn in the bracket with the lowest one seed. What kind of reward is this for NC State? It is crap.
Woo! Fire from Monica McNutt. We'll move on. 1629. 1,629 days ago, the U.S. men's national team failed to qualify.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code PTI. That's code PTI. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Qualify for the World Cup. It's not yet official, but it's so close. 5-1 over Panama. Pulisic's gorgeous hat trick. Wednesday versus Costa Rica. They just have to keep it within six. Like I said, not official, just within six. However, They've already battered it up.
Ooh, no.
Buy or sell last night's result. Buy or sell that banner, Israel.
A little bit of immunized versus vaccinated there. Look, I'm going to buy it because they basically will just, the world would have to collapse for them not to get in at this point. But I'm going to say that, yeah, look, they looked great. And frankly, one Kevin Blackstone, who wasn't trying to give them any credit after the 0-0 draw with Mexico, should probably know now that this is the team that looks like, this is what they look like. They're this good right now. They're in good form. And the one complaint you could have about the Mexico match, Christian Pulisic not playing quite well, played great in this one and did the worm for a young fan who had bone cancer too. So great game for USMNT.
Monica?
I have to say this with my chest, even though it's going to be risky. This is horrible. This is bad optics. This is awful squad. What are we doing?
What are you doing?
I will say, really quickly before you mute me, I will say that this is a younger group that only has two veterans from the past, and so I'm excited about the future, but I hate this.
You're talking about the banner.
I hate this.
The banner is what you hate.
The
you
banner
don't hate
is
that
the worst.
They won 5-1 and had their complete game. Kalashaw, I'll bring you in here before Monica says more banned words to run her off the show.
After that 0-0 game in Mexico last week, Tony, you know, there was this concern, there was this stat about, oh, teams leave altitude, they don't play well a few days later. It applied to MLS teams, it applied to teams in this tournament. They win 5-1. I would say they wiped that stat out. I don't really care about
change of altitude, change of attitude, right, Kalashaw? And Sarah Spain, how about you?
They've looked great, but I will say, even though they haven't lost a game by 6 goals since 1979, at least one commentator still joked about, floated out, seriously considered forfeiting, taking a 3-0 loss that comes with that, and then just moving on. That's how dicey things have been for these men trying to qualify, which tells you everything you need to know about that banner before it's officially done.
All right. Exactly. That's like the Raiders and the Chargers last year, you know? They could have tied in overtime and both made the playoffs, and it didn't happen. You're saying take a forfeit, which is not happening, by the way. But I respect the lawyer in
here.
All right, Gutierrez. McNutt, what are you doing? The bad words.
I believed it. I felt it. I needed it.
That's it for today for Monica. There's the money. Tim Kalashaw, Sarah Spain. Showdown, 2 minutes. The latest on LeBron's ankle, he said it felt horrible when he rolled it. Scored 39. They blew a 23-point lead in the game. They're one game from being out of the play-in, and he's hurt. Tim Kalashaw, Sarah Spain, welcome to Showdown. Tim, have we reached Operation Shutdown time for LeBron James?
No, we have not. He's all about having fun this year, and it's not fun being hurt, but if he can go, getting into that play-in game, keeping it going, keeping it rolling, that's what he wants to do.
Sarah?
Yeah, and even if it's not about his team keeping anything going or making any noise in the postseason, he can still get the scoring title if he plays a couple more games, and he wants to prove he still got it, even if the team don't.
It's the time of his life. You're right about the scoring title. You have to have a certain percentage, right, 78%, and he needs 3 more games, so you think that's what he's holding out for? Okay, point. Spain, showdown 2. 2 days, 2 walk-off wins for Texas Tech's Kurt Wilson. Look at this. Which one impressed you most? The walk-off steal of home on Friday or the walk-off 2-out, 2-strike, extra inning grand slam Saturday? Sarah Spain.
Well, ladies love the long ball, Tony, but nothing in baseball is cooler than stealing home. The pitcher's still looking at the seams on the ball. His head's down and he's already on the plate. So good.
Tim?
A lot of talk about a pitch clock in baseball. Normally, you don't think about needing it with a runner on third stealing home. What is my alma mater doing there? What, he's already on the base when, isn't there? There's crowd noise going on. What is he thinking?
He's right-handed. If he was a lefty and his back with him, you could understand it.
Right in front of him. The play's in front of you.
The showdown was in front of you, Tim, but you couldn't grab it.
It was right here. Right here.
So the Detroit Lions have been named the team for Hard Knocks. And while everyone's fired up about seeing behind the scenes on Dan Campbell, I am more excited for the Lions to potentially find the core of their woes. And even though they're a division rival, I want things to get better for them. And I hope all those cameras in that building finally reveal to us what's going on. How are you that mad? Maybe they'll fix it.
So when Campbell says, let's go get a snack, he's talking about a bowl of kneecaps. We'll see you tomorrow.